Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alex, just about over on the board. SP Futures, we're down. Hey, whoa, we're down so far. On 27.75, Dow Futures down 271, NASDAQ Futures down 49. Just a way of review, if you're less coming back from the weekend. Yesterday we're up 459, S&P Futures up 49, NASDAQ up 226, so we're not even really a Fibonacci way back. We're about halfway back, not two-thirds. Brendan, how are you?
I'm good, Chief. I'm shocked that the market is down. What's going on?
I don't know. It's,
I thought it wasn't allowed to go down anymore.
The Fed will be in buying stock this morning, I'm sure, and it may turn it around.
Okay.
We're just printing away. We're becoming the Weimar Republic. I'm not so sure that's good.
What could possibly go wrong?
No, yeah, what could possibly go wrong? So I was obviously, you know, one of the biggest things going on is still the virus, and now it's turned from, after fighting all the right-wing dudes for a couple months, now I'm fighting all the left-wing dudes. I don't know. It's pretty strange. I'd love to see a couple of non-tenured sociologists write this whole thing up, and hopefully a year or two, whenever our people are convinced. By the way, do you think that the real, say out there people, do you think if the young people continue to defy them and actually go out and get this virus, which most of them doesn't even bother them, some does obviously, and we have, you know, 20 million people that have had it in the last 2 months. Are we still going to require them to wear a mask, not to go to work, can't play basketball, can't have a beer?
Well, at some point, I think there is the argument of herd immunity. It's just getting, how do we get there and how quickly do we get there? But, you know, it's an interesting sociological problem that you're talking about as far as who dies, how many people die, how many people have to die before we get through this. Because, I mean, even at the time of the Spanish flu 102 years ago, you know, there was a point where where the herd immunity kicked in and society got back to normal.
Even if it's not herd immunity, though, I remember, I kind of remember. John Flanagan remembers it more because evidently it hit Mount Carmel a lot harder than it did Marist. There was a flu that came through and was 68, and he said they were down to 40% in the high school and they were thinking about closing. They didn't. And, you know, 3 weeks later, pretty much everybody was back, and who knows if people in the then nursing homes had a problem. I'll bet they did. Right now, on the one hand, we're bitching a blue streak about all these young people getting it. Yet we also should know, in the same breath, that 2 weeks from now, if they make it, they're fine. Why is Kenny Polcari still not allowed on the New York Stock Exchange floor? When the guy's got his antibody test, he's not a threat to anybody. I mean,
I think the other reason for that is that with this novel coronavirus, people don't know how long the immunity lasts and how vibrant the immunity is in the antibodies. Because that's one of the things that I've seen some studies with some healthcare workers, some nurses who were infected, have antibodies, and then were again found to have another infection of COVID-19. There's only a handful. They're outliers, but there are some, and I think that's lending some credibility, limited though it is, that that the immune system may not be fully accepting of the antigens, and people could get are more susceptible than later on.
Well, my I guess what I'm going with, I would never. First of all, from what Carl's been telling us and what I've been reading elsewhere, and actually one of the guys on the pro golf tour this week, if you head out, you're not a big bar guy, but if you head out to a bar and somebody's near you, and you know you're breathing in, and you go right from there to get a nose test, you may actually have it in your nose, and you don't get infected. That's why they want to give a couple of tests, because you know when you sneeze, it's gone, right? That's what your nose is for.
Uh-huh.
And just because somebody tests positive with that nasal test, my next question would be, well, did they get sick again? And if the answer is no, then I don't think that they're... What I'm saying is, Brenda, at some point here, and I agree with you, there's going to be, in today's world, there's going to be somebody who gets it the second time. I'm sure back in our day, there was somebody somewhere who got the measles the second time.
Uh-huh.
Yet you don't get to opine in, at least back then, oh man, there's a guy in like New Jersey I heard wasn't immune after he got it. We better all go back in our apartments for another 6 months. You know what? At some point, that's an outlier. You just move forward. I'm not saying we're there yet, and I'm not smart enough to know that, but I do know that that day needs to come at some point. And I think we're getting closer and closer. Whether if I was a Solomon today, would I do it today? I don't know, but I do know that somewhere it can't just be next month. Oh no, people still got it. Oh no, I read some article where somebody got it a second time. Oh God, you know, I mean, we can't be doing that in 5 years from now.
Well, that's true. I think that there does come a period of time where that has to be set aside. But I'm not sure quite if we're there yet. the reason I say that is that there are ancillary problems that I don't think are really have not really been focused on by the reporting. The first is how overwhelmed is the healthcare system, and the second of all, what about the ancillary or secondary illnesses like heart attacks, strokes, which are precipitously down in the hospital because people are not seeking treatment for things like strokes or heart attacks. Because they're afraid to go into the hospital for two reasons. One, to get coronavirus, and two, because they won't get good care because so much effort is being placed on COVID treatment.
And your family can't visit you.
And your family can't visit you, right.
Well, plus, how many people, because Medicare is paying some sort of a bonus, are dying from COVID that really didn't? Right?
I haven't seen much about that.
Well, look around. It's there. Look around. It's there. Once in a while, I get something from somebody. How few heart attacks there were in New York this year compared to last year?
Well, I think like heart attacks are down quite a bit. The treatment for heart attacks are down quite a bit in the hospitals because people apparently are afraid to go into the hospital even if they have symptoms.
Yeah, but if you hit the ground dead, you're just dead. You had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when we talk about, I hear, some of my guys are blaming him. As you know, I'm no Trump fan, but I'll tell you what, to blame this whole thing on him is just as ignorant as what the right does half the time. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't see how, I wrote this, thing in one of my buddies last night, I don't know anybody, I said, look at, the way I look at it, I mean, this is just me, he got no help from the Chinese. He got seriously no help from the WHO. His own people appear to be a bunch of stumble bums in the Center of Disease Control. Looks to me like they've been just bragging, getting a check for 30 years, which is a little harsh. And he got no help from businesses flying people back and forth over there if they knew there was a problem. And he got no help from the airlines that were pouring sick people off the airline and never said boo, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, this thing got, and I don't see how, Brendan, this was ever containable. I mean, it hit New York, hit Chicago first, hit San Francisco first, hit Seattle first. Now, guess what? It flew through the society. We refused to count everybody. We have no idea, on purpose, how many people in Hispanic areas and other areas that we sent home for 2 months, those families that worked their way through those families, they don't tell, we don't ask, nobody gets a test. All of a sudden, Chicago's got these lower numbers. Mayor and governor goofballs are taking all this credit. Same way with the guy in New York who sent people back. Now it lands on a new area. Guess what? It lands on Phoenix. It lands on South Florida. And the same thing's going on there. And our guys are clucking because if they just would have sent people home, I don't think... You know what, Brendan? Everything I'm reading from all these different countries around the world, no matter what you did, the numbers are almost the same. A little bit different.
Are they? I mean,
they sort of are. I mean, you know, not like, you know, I mean, if you did, all you did was delay stuff, it appears. And you're right. You needed to do that if your hospitals were overwhelmed. You needed to do that if your medical system was overwhelmed. You need to do that if all of a sudden you're hauling bodies out of nursing homes. We needed to learn something. But once you did, I don't see what you gain now. I mean, if there's a city like Rapid City, South Dakota, that's never had it, all of a sudden a few people there show up with it, I don't. Plus, you know, things I'm reading is that so many studies are from Italy that there's this new mutation in the gene or in the germ is making it a little more contagious but less serious. I mean, there was a big article of that, of course, he had a poll by some Italian doctors saying that the people he's treating now are not as sick as they were 3 months ago. You know, some still are having a problem, but it's not, they're not as sick. So, I mean, but any information that's out there, if it doesn't match your political view, I have no political view at all on this thing. I just want, when you get to the point where you don't bury people otherwise, I mean, what do you suppose the spousal abuse on both sides is going on? How many kids have gotten the crap beat out of them by their parents since they've been home, but we can't even go to the playground since this all happened? I mean,
well, I think that's a big issue. I think things like addiction issues, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction, and I think the domestic abuse system, and those numbers are increasing. I haven't seen a lot of studies on hard numbers about that, but I think that those have to be going through the roof because there's no outlet for them. You know, the alcoholic or the drug abuser is still getting high and getting drunk, but when he comes home, there's no release because he's not going out to work or she's not going out to work, so take it out on the kids and the family. And then those numbers have to be horrendous.
Well, yeah, I mean, what seem to refuse. I don't know. Maybe it's too late, or maybe we just can't do it today. Someplace, somewhere, you have to pick up five or six people. Say, drop your agenda at the door, you idiots, and sit down. Where are we on this? How many? If the number is really 10 times as many people have had it than the test, which now everybody seems to say. The first person who said that was in Indiana, and now everybody, the Surgeon General, somebody else. It looks like we've had 10 to 11 times more cases. Okay, so if we've had 2 million confirmed cases, that means we've had 20 million, Brendan. Okay, there's 20 million people that ought to be riding the bus, not wearing a mask. It ought to be working and going to school. And yet there was a guy on from Duke University yesterday, and I don't know what he was down there, just, you know. And he is just going nuts about how, what's the matter with us? Everybody should be home. You shouldn't be able to walk out. If you walk down to the food store without a mask, you should be arrested. Strip that guy from his paycheck, Brendan, and say either go to work or stay home. Right? I mean.
Those are part of the challenges. But I think that there's a big fear. I think. You're right. At this point, the death rate is much lower than it was when the spike was in New York. So there's a reduction there in the actual amount of death. But I think there's still a great amount of fear of people getting this and dying. And dying alone because people can't, their families can't visit them when they're in the hospital. I think that's a big driver of a lot of folks.
Right. So those people, I mean, I understand you can't basically scare the bleep out of the population and turn around the next day and say, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that part, but I mean, at some point, if that's the way you feel, stay home for the rest of your life. Don't tell other people to. I mean, I'm saying, I don't know when we're there, but what I'm seeing downtown, Brendan, I'm going to join this view of this. Every month becomes next month. Oh no, people are afraid. Oh no, there's an article here somewhere. You can't govern like that. You can't come into the news conference and have 15 people screaming at you about why aren't we wearing masks everywhere and maintaining. Brendan, I see people riding a bike 100 yards from anybody wearing a mask. I got to believe that's health. That's hurting your health. So Audrey goes to the Home Depot on Sunday. on Saturday, and there's a girl working out in the heat with his mask on. So Audrey says to her, "Isn't that mask hot?" She goes, "It's brutal." And so she pulls it down below her nose. She goes, "I had it like this," and some lady walked through and reported me to my manager that it was under my nose. And what are we doing to this society, Brenda?
It's fear right now. It's all fear-based. Well, mostly fear-based.
Well, I mean, why do we let a guy like Fauci in front of the microphone? Oh, my God, there's going to be 100,000 people. You know what? He might be right. We're also given 7 times as many tests per day as we were in April. I say every day, I do not want this disease. I want it to go away. I sure don't want it. I don't want anybody around me to get it. The last thing I need is for somebody I care about in the hospital. I can't even go see him, which is ignorant, by the way. But I don't. It's been managed poorly. But I mean, what are we doing? These downtown, does the city expect to get like a property tax payment from the Conrad Hilton or from the Hyatt or someplace down here? They expect.
Well, that's going to be a much bigger problem. The budget hole that is being developed by all the municipalities and all the states because of this is going to be a tremendous hit. And you're absolutely right on that you know, it's hard to believe that the Conrad Hilton or the Palmer House are going to be able to pay their full property tax bill when they've been closed and shuttered for several months. There's just no revenue there to pay that. And that's going to be a huge problem in how that's paid out, how the government tries to get the money from the landowners for things like that.
I don't. Maybe you can opine on this. Being the, I don't. Is maybe I read too much, Brian? And so do you. When did living become risk free?
Oh, it's never been risk free.
Or certainly working a job be risk free.
That's not risk free either. I think where we are right now, though, is a different measurement. This, with respect to the coronavirus, it came so quickly. Even now, it's been, what, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months since the first signs of this were in China. That's a very short period of time to have 130,000 deaths in the United States. I think there's a fear that it was going to grow a lot worse, a lot quicker, and that fear base has a different risk analysis than it does for everyday living. Yes, I mean, you walk out of your house and there's possibility of getting hit by a bus as you cross the street on your way into the office. That's always a risk. Different things happen every day. Eat the wrong food, you're going to have a heart attack as a result. You know, those are risks. This was an unquantifiable risk that has a disproportionate amount of death that came out of nowhere. And for a while, people thought it was containable or treatable. And it wasn't. And that increases the fear factor. And because the fear factor is increased, people are more reluctant. And we don't really know. And that's really where I think some of the scientists do come in, whether it's Fauci or this guy, Goldman or Tom Friedman. All of these folks from the science agencies have some validity. But the trouble is that their credibility is undercut from a couple of different things. First, because the facts change. I mean, when you think about the fact, like when Fauci first came out and said, don't wear masks, the reason he said that was to have masks available for healthcare workers. Not that it wasn't effective, but in order to save the masks for the healthcare workers. And at that time, masks were deemed to be the surgical masks, the N95 masks, which were in short supply. Then as masks became more cotton, things that they could be, preventative in spreading the disease, then it was a change in direction. Likewise, how serious is this if somebody gets it? Like now the death rate is going down, so there's a credibility gap there that looks like they're changing their minds because it's not as fatal as it was before. But I think that there's also a political realm when you have Trump saying there's 15 people in the country that have it's going to go away. It's going to go away by Easter. We're going to open up everything by Easter. And then he says, you know, by the summertime when it gets warm, it's going to go away with no medical evidence. So there's conflicting messages there that exacerbate the whole problem. And I think that's part of the difficulty that America has. And it's now become a political issue. If you wear a mask, you're anti-Trump. If you don't wear a mask, you're pro-Trump. It has nothing to do with freedom of choice and what you really believe. I think that it's exacerbating the political problem, and that is a much bigger problem right now. And it also tends to have people go too far in the opposite direction. For example, the removal of a lot of the statues or the removal of Confederate flags from different things. You know, those are legitimate concerns that people have had for a number of years. Why do you celebrate Confederate generals by a statue in the South when they were the people who seceded from the Union and were traitors to the country, but they're celebrated? Whether, you know, but then the pendulum continues to swing too far in the other direction for people like removing the statue of the Founding Fathers or Lincoln or Christopher Columbus. It just goes too far because of the mob rule and mob mentality. But in all of these things, there are legitimate and practical aspects of things that are true, regardless of what your political persuasion is. There are some bases and facts that are true to start with. It's just that they go to the extremes on both sides, and that's when the arguments are undercut.
You know where it's lonely, Brendan, and you can fight with everybody? It's lonely in the middle.
Yeah, it is.
The mask issue, and I've read, I'm not all day long on it. If somebody is very concerned, if they have an issue, whatever it could be, hypertension, they could have kidney disease, God knows what, get yourself an N95 mask, have it fitted properly, wear it when you go out, change it whenever you're supposed to, that probably means 3 or 4 times a day, knock yourself out. The last thing I need is some bleep wearing a stagecoach hold-up mask or something his daughter made with socks on it that hasn't been washed in 3 months, tell me what I should do. That I need to wear
one. I understand your point. But I also think that your point that it's very lonely in the middle is true, and there are fewer people in the middle right now than have been in a long, long time.
I would say that out of all the people wearing masks, 75% of them are doing them and somebody else no good. I wouldn't want to touch that mask.
Because they're not being
They don't change them, they don't wear them right, they never were any good in the first place because the knit is too wide. Whatever it is. I have one that's not N95, but it's one that that nurses would wear and stuff. And I change it. When I'm supposed to go in some place with it, I don't fight with anybody. I put it on and I go. But I also know that for me, it's worse because I wear glasses half the time and they steam up and I touch my face 100 times more than I ever did without wearing one. So, I mean, I don't think it's helping me at all. but the idea that, somehow or another, that I get to tell somebody else to protect me, that if I see somebody with a dirty White Sox or Cub mask on, I get to tell him to change it. That one doesn't count. Get out of the store. I mean, what kind of fights would that start every day? I mean, what are we doing?
Well, you also just mentioned something else about how many times you touch your face. As I understand it, the disease is spread. It's a respiratory disease, so you really want to stay away from your nose more than anything else. If you ingest it through your mouth, going through the digestive tract, it's not contagious. Your eyes, I'm not sure about, but
eyes very bad, very bad.
Your cheek, if you continue to touch your cheek, that's not really an issue.
From what I understand, your eyes are worse than nose. You don't have any hair in your eyes. Maybe some people do. I think Maddie Weber does. No. But the economy, I mean, how big of a hit can we continue to take here? We're choosing winners all over the place. Now we're giving loans to trucking companies that the government sued. I mean, these guys are out of control, Brendan. And unless we somehow get things back, then what is this place going to look like if we're still doing this 6 months from now?
It's economically, it's going to be a huge hit, but the stock market is still going to go up. So as long as you've got investments in the stock market, what do you worry?
Is the stock market going, real quick, you know, we have less than a minute, stock market going up or the value of the dollar going down?
Why do you have to have a choice?
Because one is valued versus the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it
seems like the economy is as long as if you're looking at the administration's view, as long as the stock market is going up, there's no problem.
All right, but let me ask you this. If Amazon's trading 1,000 and you put out 50% more shares of Amazon, where do you think it would go?
Well, it should go down.
Okay. If you increase the amount of dollars in the system by 50% in a year, where do you think Amazon is going to go in relation to the dollar?
I think it'll still go down.
No, up. I'm not talking if you didn't do the shares.
Oh.
If you held the Amazon constant and doubled and put 50% more dollars in circulation.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Brandon, thank you very much, bud. We'll talk next week, if not before. If you're willing to come out with four masks on, I need four masks now on other people. That's what I'm doing. I need the full headset, right, the big turban. All right, bud, S&P futures down 23. We'll come back a little bit. Dow futures only down 241. That's a little bit. NASDAQ futures now only down 36. NASDAQ probably up on the day. We'll see. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Joel and Cannon with us here. We'll talk about to him in a sec. NASDAQ figures down 42.75. S&P's down 25. So we're back, I say half in those areas, not quite half in the NASDAQ. Dow, however, is down 249. That's over half of what that was up yesterday. But by and large, we're not even a Fibonacci yet, Matty. So I don't know where that's coming. As a way of review, yesterday was we were up 459 in the Dow, up 49 in the S&P, and we're up 226 in the NASDAQ, which was huge. We had Apple's up like 10. These stocks cannot go down. I mean, at any time, they've reached the point where I think Apple is 11% of the Qs. So is Microsoft. And I mean, when you put $1,000 in the Qs because you want to get more diversified, which you are, by the way, you're still 30-some percent in like four stocks. So I think you're getting in the Qs because you're avoiding Apple and Microsoft. Not exactly. We're in Europe, the DAX down 135, 1%. Remember, these guys were up way more than that yesterday. FTSE down 75, 1.2%. CAC around down 46.9%. So they're giving back, I'm going to say, well, more than half. Nikkei down 99.4%. You know, these guys were up huge yesterday. Shanghai's up again today, up 12.4%. Now, remember, China yesterday came out and said you could borrow more money to put it in stocks. That's special. Hang Seng down 363, 1.4%. But I'm going to say they were up close to 3 yesterday, so maybe halfway back there. Bonds, still can't get any kind of movement out of these bonds, nor can I get any movement out of my machine here, Manny. Why don't you start Traffic, Weather, Sports until stuff starts to work again?
I can do that. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Nice and quiet, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no delays to speak of on any of the area expressways. Lakeshore Drive looking good as well. Suburban tollways are all quiet. Only blip on the radar is at Harlem Avenue between 29th and 30th Street. There's some fallen power cables that have crews on the scene, and it's blocking the northbound lanes on Harlem. But traffic is still able to squeak by, but there is a slowdown, so keep that in mind.
If you get an SUV, if you put it in four-wheel drive, can you go through power cables?
Just go right through the construction workers and the power cables?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could. But I wouldn't recommend it. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be another hot and steamy day, but today we have some chance for some thunderstorms later on as well. We'll reach a high of 90 and even warmer than that further inland. Could touch the mid-90s. Right now it's crystal clear and 81 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 111 today. Right now it's clear and 81. In sports, the big news was the Cubs and White Sox both released their abbreviated 60-game schedules yesterday. The Cubs, both teams will open at home, or excuse me, the Cubs will open at home on July 24th. The White Sox will open on the road. Sorry, I have that wrong, Chief. Both teams will open at home on July 24th. The Cubs will host the Milwaukee Brewers on July 24th. The White Sox will host the Twins on Friday, July 24th at Guaranteed Rate Field. Of course, it's a 60-game abbreviated schedule. Both teams will play each other 6 times, which will be interesting. And then other than that, you'll play 12 series against your fellow division foes and 20 games covering 8 series against the opposite Central Division in the other league. So Cubs will play 8 series against the American League Central, White Sox against the National League Central. Chief.
Vines 0.67, 10-year to Bund, minus 0.41. Japan hanging in there over 0 at positive 0.04. We've got oil down 44 cents, but still over 40 bucks. 40.19, Brent is 42.74. Natural gas up another 6 cents, 189. Wow, this thing... What a buy below 150. Our Bob, which of course nobody can really do as a retail people, but if you're a big time pro with a lot of dough, it was a nice buy. Our Bob, there's a lot enough ifs in there, maybe. Our Bob 124, and we've got gold is a down 920, 1784. Silver actually down 29 cents. This guy's been going up every single day. Dips much more. I might go in and buy some more there. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. Anyway, Joel, how are you, bud?
Good morning, Chief. I heard you talking about Microsoft and Apple and their components in the queues, but I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show in the past, but, you know, my primary, instrument, for trading is the S&P 500, right?
Right.
The E-mini futures. And I have been tracking the top 10 stocks in that index now for coming, you know, close to 20 years. Now, when I started doing that, can you name me
what the top component was. Let's say 2001, 2002, 2003.
I can name you the top five in 2000. I'm going to say it was Cisco, Intel, Microsoft.
I'm asking for the top one, the top one.
In the S&P 500?
Yeah.
I'm going to say GE or Exxon.
You got it. It was ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
And at that point, those 10 stocks comprised about roughly 14-15% of the index. Now, obviously, ExxonMobil and GE are long gone. I lumped the two Googles together.
Right.
I still think they're one company. The top five companies, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, now make up 28% of the S&P 500. Who cares about the other 488? Unbelievable statistic there. So, I mean, overall, you know, it's good if you own those stocks. It's good if you own the S&P 500. But, man, oh, man, unbelievable the way the concentration is in those top stocks. Frankly, I don't like it. Nothing I can do about it.
When it got that concentrated in the QQQ in 2000 with the stocks I was rattling off.
Yeah.
How'd that work out? And only one of them, only one of them is like over what they were back then. Although I guess Dell probably, it's hard to tell with Dell because they went private and came back out.
Oh yeah, I don't even want to talk about Michael Dell and VMware and DVMT shenanigans. But you know, people look at the market and they, you know, look at Cisco. Just using Cisco as an example.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bought that thing at $90, okay, in 2000, yeah, it's had a nice rally over the last couple of years, but man, oh man, you're nowhere near getting your money back, and that's just, you know, that's a lesson in valuations. You know, eventually they're going to matter, right, with some of these stocks?
Yep.
But right now they don't. So you just got to sometimes take off your fundamental hat and just either stay away from them and try and trade these things technically. I mean, very difficult when you want to talk about valuations.
Or if you're, you know, if you were a protection guy and don't mind giving a little bit away to the insurance company, or more than a little if it doesn't move anywhere, you could just keep rolling up your trailing puts. And when everybody else is making $10, you're making 7.5 or 8.
Hey, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, the market, incredible run here, giving a little bit back today. That news out of China yesterday, you know, just as the cases were rising over the 3-day weekend, boom, China basically says, hey, we will loan you money to go buy stocks. I mean, what more could you ask from that? China is probably borrowing money from our Fed to give to people in China to buy Chinese and U.S. stocks. That's my latest theory.
We have people that are absolutely convinced that have taken hold of the economic world, but that's the proper thing to do. Are these the grandsons of the economists during the Weimar Republic or what? Or Venezuela?
I don't know, Chief. I mean, when you have, you know, the Fed, I can't remember the name of the ETF, you know, when you're looking at the top holdings in the ETF, and a bond ETF, and you look at the third biggest holder is the Federal Reserve Bank. That's not something that makes me comfortable. But
No. Once
again, Chief, you can beat your head against the wall, and it's not going to do any good. It's just you're just going to hurt yourself.
I have a question. This is very why exactly don't we give up what we're doing? I couldn't do that because I like my clients. And take Matty Weber, a young, good-looking guy. Why don't we open up a lobbying firm? Can you imagine? With now your buddy Mnuchin saying that they're going to help out individual industries, the phone calls coming from K Street. Wait a minute, don't forget my industry. We've been aggrieved. Name an industry that hasn't been aggrieved.
Technology, I guess, if you want to go along those lines.
Well, but their sales are down. Depending, unless you're people that cater to the at-home crowd, which is a lot. I mean, there's some serious companies there. But anybody else, I mean, yeah, how could you be positive when the GDP is going to be down, what, 12, 15?
It doesn't matter, Chief. They're looking forward, man. The market is forward-looking. The market is telling us that we have nothing to worry about. I mean, that things, you know, whether vaccines or whatnot, You know, the market at this point is forward-looking, and they're telling us that we are way, way overstating the economic and emotional impact of the COVID-19 crisis.
Why can't you and I both go on national? Of course, I wouldn't want to go on national TV.
No.
Why can't you say that and me say, by the way, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the Fed is flooding the place with money, and your money's is dropping by 10% a month. I mean, that's to me, that's all the market's telling me. There's no look forward here. There's no it's giving me relative numbers.
Okay. Correct. Yeah.
But it's not giving me absolute numbers. But my last guest, I just said if Amazon was trading 1,000, of course, it's way over that. If it was trading 1,000 and you increase the amount of shares tomorrow by 50%, would the stock go up or down? And the guy says to me, well, it's going to go down. Okay, what if Amazon stays at 1,000 and you increase the amount of dollars by 50%? And you hear dead silence. Because people are not used to doing the other side, nor should you have to. The Fed's job is that you never have to. But now the Fed's job is making you do that, have that calculation, right?
Yeah, no, I know. It's not what you want to hear, but, you know, looking at the futures overnight, I'd keep an eye. I mean, we took out last week's high. Yesterday, but we're not holding it. So that's what I'll be looking for. You know, see if right around where the S&Ps are now, a little bit higher, and you know, see if we can get back up and maybe test 3,200, or to see if we got a little bit extended. But Chief, out next week, taking a little R&R, going to Northern Michigan, one of my favorite places in the world. So. My buddy Spencer call in, or my partner on the PMP show, Dennis Ditt, call in. But just want you to know, I'll be talking to you in 2 weeks.
Well, I was wondering if I could get away anywhere, where would I go? I think you named like the only spot, Northern Michigan, Northern Wisconsin. Where else can you go?
I know.
Just you and the fish.
Things are light up there with the virus, but, you know, we're still going to play it close to the belt. You know, I'm not running out to restaurants. We'll be eating in parks. Going to rent some boats and, you know, practice some social distancing, do it in lovely Northern Michigan.
All right, take care, buddy. Have a nice time.
All right, go blue.
We going right to Kenny? We going to break, Benny? SP Futures down 1875. Hey, you had another buying opportunity down 26. You're already up 8. NASDAQ Futures down 32. Every dip is a buying opportunity, it appears, until that changes. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
I thought I heard the captain say, pay me my money down, tomorrow is our sailing day, pay me my money down.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Matt Weber, S&P futures down 1950, NASDAQ futures down 32. Now when we say we have Mr. Kenny Polcari this week, do we really have Kenny?
That's what I was telling you, Kenny.
Yes, you do, and I don't mind telling you, my feelings were hurt last week. I figured you forgot all about me.
AV was in covering, and so I go, hey, Kenny, what's going on? Hey, this is Carl. Okay. Well, Carl, now that you're here.
I waited. All of a sudden it became 8 o'clock. I go, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, Carl, I guess we'll talk a while. I'm like, okay. So the weird part is, AV says she calls Carl. It was like he was waiting for the call. He just hopped right at it. He never even said, this isn't my day or anything. He said, okay, here we go.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, anyway, he's always a good guest, but I can't go a week without my Kenny fix. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I have a question for you. Yes. Not to get crazily personal, but why, after you have your antibodies and are a survivor, thank God, because you're a good buddy, Why can't you go to the New York Stock Exchange?
Because the New York Stock Exchange is only allowing people that work on the floor in a broker or DMM capacity,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So I'm no longer in that capacity. When I left the exchange a year ago, right, I gave up my membership and I started this new/consulting wealth management business down here in Florida. So while I have a media pass to get on the floor of the exchange, I don't have a member pass any longer. And since they're not doing media from the floor of the exchange right now, I'm shut out.
All right.
And listen, and I get it. You know, it's all part of the protection kind of campaign that's going on at office centers, certainly around the country, and certainly at the New York Stock Exchange. They're still only, I believe, at 25%. They're just starting to bring back some of the DMMs. That won't be into full stride, from what I understand, until potentially September.
Well,
so that's the reason.
Well, Maddie and I were hacking on the way in about, all the stuff that's going on in, you know, South Florida, depending on what you read. And now it also appears that the number, I didn't do it, the guys from Indiana did it, and also the people in Spain did it. The two random samples I read said basically the same thing. 10 to 11% more people have been infected than the crummy-ass test of April, May.
10 to 11 times.
Yeah, 10
not
11
10 to 11%.
10 to 11 times. I'm sorry, Matty. And have actually been infected. So now, which, you know, on the one hand is not good, but on the other hand, so what if Fauci's right, which he hasn't been seemingly the whole way, but what if we get 100,000 young people in Arizona or in those states test positive for 4 days in a row? Okay, that means 500,000 people 14 days from now, If they make it, young people being the way they are, if they make it, why can't they go drink? Why do they have to wear a mask? Why can't they go back to work or go back to school?
Well, I don't know. I think it's still too new, right? Because I would agree with you. Like, I've had it. I have the antibody. But I guess they're still not convinced yet that I can't re-get it, right? That somebody else can't give it back to me. And so I think it's really, I think it's just really more the unknown, and so you better err on the side of safety than not, and so wearing a mask when either you're in a public place or in a store or whatever seems to be kind of the safe measure. But, you know, I would agree with you. I also think that some of these numbers are being clearly exaggerated, because one of the stories we heard down here in Florida, and I'm sure it's happening around the country, is that, you know, through this contact tracing, if I have it, and I walk into a room and there's 10 people in the room, and I'm just in the room with those 10 people, they are in contact with me, and so now they're being counted as being being stricken by the virus. Whether or not they have it or not, they're just being added. These 10 people were exposed to Kenny, so therefore Kenny has it, so we're assuming these 10 people have it, so boom, the numbers just skyrocket. And that's whether or not you actually got the test to prove that you were either positive or negative. And so, you know, the numbers, you can skew the numbers and make them be any way you want to tell your part of the story. And I think that, you know, it's frustrating across both sides of the spectrum, right?
Well, I mean,
one way or the other.
Remember
I guess that's the answer to your question. It's just a safety issue.
Well, remember the one band flick where the Fatima Blush, I forget who her name was, and she said to James Band, wasn't I the best sex ever? And he said, actually, there was this girl in Philadelphia. she was, of course, outraged. I don't see how, if it looks to me, Kenny, like it's guys like you that are survivors. Honestly, I don't know what I can do about if there's a half a million of you. If somebody says, I once knew a guy in North Carolina that got it a second time. Kenny, I can't deal with that. I mean, there's going to be an article somewhere. There's going to be a tweet, and there's going to be this. We're not sure, Kenny. I'm not sure an asteroid's not heading for my head right now.
Agreed. Listen, I'm on your side of the argument on this. It's like when you get the flu, right? You get the flu in November. Who says you can't get it again in February? I mean, maybe you can, maybe you can't. People get it sometimes twice in one season. I hear you. I think that though they've managed to create such hysteria around this virus that, you know, the people are almost paralyzed.
Well, how much of this is old versus young? Yeah. I was out. I mean, Chicago's opened up some, and I was, and I've been to places where everybody's, you know, I'm going to say our age or something.
Yeah.
Everybody's socially distancing. Everybody's tables are every other table. Every time somebody leaves, they hit the thing with 40 pounds of ammonia or bleach, you know, and I think people are doing it absolutely right. And then you'll drop into a place where there's young people, and everybody's sitting in everybody else's lap, and there's 30 people stacked in a heap. You know, you're like,
right.
I mean, and they don't care. I mean, at some point, they're going to look at the old guy and say, "Protect yourself. Don't bother me."
Right. When the old guy might say, "Look, I'm trying to protect myself, but I'm asking you to help protect me." Because even though you're young, and even though you're healthy, and even though you may be asymptomatic, and even though nothing may happen to you, at 75 or 80 years old, I could die. And so therefore, I'm asking you to help protect me. But look, we can have this argument because that's the same argument you can have about the flu in the wintertime, right?
Yeah.
People that are older, whose immune systems are compromised, or anyone are at risk. And I told you this story. You know, my grandmother was 103 and perfectly healthy condition, lived by herself, drove her car, was well read. You could talk about politics, you could talk about anything with her. And she went to a funeral in February 3 years ago. Someone in the funeral was sick with the flu. She caught the flu. 3 weeks later, she was dead from pneumonia. Just because she was 103 and it overwhelmed her body. She wasn't sick. She wasn't compromised. It just was. It was what it was. And I'm not trying to downplay it, but what I'm saying is, part of it is just a circle of life. Am I right or wrong?
Well, it's also, you would never have felt some big IPO day in the New York Stock Exchange, which you've gone through many of, walk in and there's three idiots coughing saying, "You guys got to leave." The thought of you being able to tell somebody, if you thought it was dangerous, it's up to you to get your fanny out of there. But now,
now we've
transferred over into this, tell other people what to do. I was saying earlier that the girl at the Home Depot, working outside in the sun, kind of by herself, had her mask below her nose, and some lady reported to the manager.
Right, because she's out there by herself,
yep.
No one around here. Have you ever been, listen, I'm down here in Florida now, right? It's 100 degrees out during the day. You walk outside with that mask on your face, and it can feel suffocating. And if I'm alone outside, I take the mask off because I honestly can't breathe, right? But when I walk into a store that's air conditioned, any store in Florida, South Florida, I put the mask on because they ask me to. It's fine.
Right.
But if I'm in my car or if I'm walking on the street, the mask is off, as is most people down, you know, at least in this part of the country, the mask is off. But I'm respectful of the fact that when I'm in a crowd or if I'm in a place that they ask me to wear it, I'll wear it. But I'm not going to wear it when I'm just walking on the street by myself going for a walk, or if I'm sitting at the beach. Why am I wearing it?
Well, I guess here's the. I'm trying to add some statistics here, and then let's talk about the market for a second. But the statistics are if you have a 98% chance of not being able to infect anybody else. I don't need somebody to tell me that's not good enough. You still have to quarantine. But that's the way the world is now. They think you can. And we got to stop this before it gets. I mean, here in Chicago, Kenny, again, I have a Jonas view, and that's why I like talking to people from elsewhere. Downtown here, the months are blending together. What was the song? Days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months. I mean, right now, there's no. You can go out to, oh no, maybe let's make it September. Let's make it October. Let's make it November. I mean, and what are we doing here? Same way with, you know, college football. Let's make it the spring. Okay, what spring? Next spring? The spring after? Where are we going? So what? How much higher can the market go on Fed stuff? Now, the Fed's buying individual companies, right?
Yeah, well, listen, that's going to be right the next trick, and so I think the market's got room to go for sure. I think, you know, when you look at 7 or 8 days of the market just, you know, up like we've seen in the last week, then certainly one of these days the market does have to kind of back off a little bit. But do I think it's going to back off significantly? Absolutely not. Do I think it's going to consolidate? Yes. Do I think it's ahead of itself? Yes. It's trading at almost 23 times earnings. I think 22.7 as of yesterday. Which is well ahead of where it was in 2019 and 21.5, and well ahead of 2018 where we're 16.5 times earnings. And so do I think it's a little bit stretched? Absolutely. Well ahead of the economic data. But I think part of that is, where else are you going to go? The Fed and every other central bank, thank you very much, People's Bank of China on Sunday into Monday, they came out and said, you know, that it's important to stimulate their economy to, you know, work through this pandemic, only suggest, hey, bank, here's more money on this side of the world, too. We're just throwing it at it. And so investors go hog wild. And you saw what happened yesterday. Markets around the world surged. You know, China was up almost 6%.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else was up 2.5%. And so to see the market back off today a little bit, you know, is you know, the S&P's off too. Okay, big deal. It was up 40 yesterday, right?
Well, Kenny, whenever you have an inflation of any kind, if you can, it's incumbent upon you to find the spot that is the hotbed of inflation, be it real estate, be it something, and you got to get in there.
Yep, agreed. But I don't think that at the moment that's not coming. But when it comes, I think like you and I have discussed, when it comes, I think it's going to come so fast that the government, the Fed, no one's going to have an opportunity, you know, to prepare for it. And then you're going to start to see huge increases in the interest rate by the Fed to try to put the brakes on. And that's what I'm afraid of, right?
I'm predicting
huge increases. What I mean is 1 or 2 percentage points at a time, because now they're talking about 0.25%. Everyone's having a nervous breakdown.
I'm going to say, Kenny, we'll timestamp this. I'll talk to you about it next week because I want yours as well. I'm going to say we get a 1.5 to 2% inflation number in October and 3 in November right after the election.
Okay.
Close to it. Anyway, buddy, take care of yourself.
We'll timestamp it. Great.
We'll timestamp it. Do we still have a timestamper? Yes, we do here in the office. SP Futures.
That's the last century of timestamp.
I know. We still timestamp orders when you get them off the phone from people.
That's when so funny because I haven't had a timestamp clock since the turn of the century.
Oh, God. When you take an order, when you take an order off the phone, you still timestamp stuff.
You don't take orders off the phone anymore.
We
do. When I had to take orders off the phone, I didn't timestamp because I'd have to enter the order into my computer, so therefore it got the audit trail through the computer. I didn't physically have to timestamp it.
All right. Remember
those timestamps?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying, but we still have the habit of if somebody calls and you talk to them 20 minutes about what they want to do and they decide to do it, we'll timestamp our order. But then obviously you enter it, and then it's, you know, it's in there as well. All right, bud, take care of yourself. SP Futures down 20, right. NASDAQ Futures down 29.50. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down 28. We were down further before. We're down like 28 in the S&Ps and 45 in the NASDAQ. So I don't think we're going to stay down here. We've got too much Fed money sloshing in. But Jeff, how are you? All kinds of stuff's going on here this morning. We got all kinds of interesting questions to ask you.
Lots going on. Good morning, Chief.
As they used to say, when Dr. J and my bro used to go on... was it Channel 26, Axe and Expert? You know,
yes. No, don't mention that show.
Yeah, the guy who did it had trouble with ass. Was always Axe and Expert, like you're going to chop his head.
Yeah, well, I literally did almost chop an expert. In fact, that's how I got into trading, was from that show. There was what was the name of this? A St. Louis firm that was a big Clayton Securities.
I remember them. Yeah, I remember them.
Clayton
yeah.
Securities used to have advertising, and they used to have a talking head broker guy that talked about his big returns that he was making for investors, trading futures, and I was a young kid, I was a teenager working in the restaurant business at that point, just out of Northwestern, just graduated, and had some money. I remember I brought in a check for $3,000 once, gave it to him, and... just open up an account and start trading. And I know his name. I'm not going to mention it now because it's been a long time. But after a short period of time, maybe 3 or 4 weeks goes by, and I'm watching all this trading he's doing in my account. Back in the days when brokers used to churn for high commissions. And next thing you know, the account's in the hole, about $1,400. He needs more money because he lost it all, plus more, and I owe him more money. And
what the hell
at
is
that
he
point,
doing?
I'm still a little young, but I'm not stupid. And I go in with his check, I'm just about to hand it to him, and instead I flipped his desk over and started beating on him. Police came, it wasn't pretty, but that's how I got into trading. Realized at one point that I'd been taken and that I was going to take back control. So instead of handing over that check, I handed over some good solid blows to the head, turned his desk and office over, police came, they never pressed charges. Didn't make me come up with the rest of the money, and I got my initial investment back, and my investment career began. So there's a good story for you.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, that was over at the remember Weigel Broadcasting?
That was right over 141 North, 141 West Jackson, just a couple,
yeah, it was
doors down from where your office is.
Actually, no, when we went over there, they had moved. They were north on Halsted. They had a big place on the west side of the street.
I remember the guy's first name was Gary, and he was on that show quite a bit. You might remember the rest, but that was a long time ago. He may have passed away.
Well, we were on with a guy. Remember the Uber Bull? hell was his name? He was from Ohio. Kind of a friend of ours. We'd go on him once in a while. He ended up, well, we're not sure if he got murdered or somebody blew him away. Or he blew himself away. We're not, I don't know.
Very, there were a lot of scamsters back then. You know, that's, those are the Wild West days.
Well, he's the one who got, he's the one who got taken by some guy.
Yeah.
Who was here that was trying to do some stuff with us. And I said, no, this guy's 9 miles of bad road. We got to get rid of him. And somehow he latches onto this guy. Well, yeah, but he ended up joining some high-end country club in Ohio. And he was doing a Bernie Madoff thing. He was fleecing the guys in the country club. But they had a... was it Jack Taylor was on that show. He's a good guy.
Sure. Yeah.
And then with Scott Wren was a little different. But E-Trade Radio was out of there. And down in the Bay, remember the Homework show?
No.
Manny, they had a show that somehow got big dough from the city. And every afternoon from 4 to 5:30 or 4 to 6, it was for kids, mostly kids in, you know, black neighborhoods. And they went through like a lot of the homework from today. Actually, I thought it was pretty neat. And they would go through like the homework for the second and third graders and that type of thing. The people were getting in the school at the time, and they were on, you know, Channel 26. So if your kid had, you know, if you didn't know what the homework was. Anyway, so we got weird stuff here today. They just came across in order. Let's take our what do we hear from Hitachi, Manny?
Natachi sent us on Twitter, who follows us on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter, at Stocks, the letter N, Jocks. He says, Chief, tell us again how Trump has done some good things. McConnell's wife's family business appears on Trump admin's list of companies that received the most PPP money.
I was fighting with my liberal friends last night. I'll say this, Jeff, it is lonely in the middle.
Oh, my God. It's brutal.
It's brutal, and they blame this entire pandemic on Trump. And I go, come on. There's nobody around probably that dislikes the man more than I do. From back when I booed him when he sang the national anthem 20 years ago at Wrigley Field, but you know, it's like it's very hard to get an 800 on an SAT test. It's also hard to get a 200. You almost have to know the right answer and purposely pick the wrong one. I mean, it's not like the dude hasn't done some things right. And some of his instincts are actually pretty good. Now, as a grade, I'm not giving him A, B. I don't know if I give him a C. But the fact is, you know, I mean, but here Hitachi, listen to the show. You know, this is what
I'd give him an F.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'd be D. You know,
the maybe. Country has been running to the ground yet again.
But what I'm saying is the Hitachi by listening to the show, and again, I'll blame myself here because I'm the one that's supposed to be. Educating this stuff on the economic side, the new economists, they don't care, Jeff, who gets this money. It's helicopter money. It just get it out there. The same reason when they sent people 1,200-hour checks and some percentage of them were dead, they didn't care. Helicopter money means helicopter money. Drop it out of the helicopter, and it doesn't. And the fact that some of Trump's people got these loans. Well, they don't care who got them. Now, granted, you know, I have a problem with it, but I was just seeing on CNBC. I don't know if you saw this. I don't have it on, but I was listening. They claim the administration saying 51 million jobs were saved by this PPP program, and yet as the evidently applications to get the stuff forgiven or whatever start piling in or whatever the end going. I don't know. I know people that are running it, but. From different places, but I haven't seen the application to. But now 50,000 businesses claim that at the end of however many months it's been, was it 8 weeks? Then it became 12 weeks. That no jobs whatsoever have been retained. That they paid them for the did what they were supposed to do till the end of June, paid people, and now here is July, and they're all gone. Well, I mean, here's what my concerns are, and again, I've. Trouble expressing myself, so everybody understands what the hell I'm trying to say, because I can't even understand what I'm saying myself half the time. But here's an issue. Whenever you do something like this, Jeff, and please critique me, you need to have an end game. You need to have something. If God forbid, Maddie and Jill both got laid off and are renting in the building, and Maddie says, okay, look, we can't pay rent, but everything, and your president and your speaker of the house and everybody says, we're going to lock everybody up for 8 weeks, and then everything's going to be okay. The minute he says, I'll tell you what, I'll start paying rent in half. The minute I go back, I'm going back, you know, July 1st. That's fine. I'll roll with that. Now, all of a sudden, it's not July 1st anymore. It's August 1st. And it's that. But now you can open, but only with 25% of the people. Or you can only open outside. By the way, it's 100 friggin' degrees outside. And now it's September. And then it's October. I mean, at some point here, how do you even plan, Jeff? They had, who's the, I'm not so sure, I'm a big fan of his, but they have on CNBC all the time. Guy owns, does he own a hockey team? You know what I'm talking about? The guy with the big head. How's this best sound politically correct? Big head, short blonde hair. He owns a bunch of restaurants in New York. I think he owns horses or one of the, or a hockey team or something. Anyway, he was on there saying about the mayor of New York. He goes, what are you doing? You told everybody July 1st. I hired half the people back. I went out and bought meat. I bought produce, which is, and then 2 days later you say, oops, my mistake, we're not opening for another God knows how much because we found a few more. He goes, how do you do that to somebody? If you had any plans, let me close. Don't tell me you're opening again. What am I supposed to do all this produce? Dumping on your house? I don't see how you make any plans here. I honestly don't.
Well, it's been difficult for obviously all business owners to make any plans at all. But, you know, that's not unexpected. It's hard to point a finger to anybody whose inability, because of their inability to provide much forward guidance. I think it's more about, you know, taking a look at bad decisions that might have been made during this period of time. That's what these black swan events are supposed to be. They're supposed to be unpredictable outliers that had low statistical probability of occurring that nobody knows how to manage or handle when they actually do occur. And if we're all honest with ourselves and recognize that that's exactly what a pandemic is, first of all, and that again, you know, there's no scientific modeling that's going to be particularly helpful in the early days, and that's not an indictment of science. Everybody loves science, gotta love science.
Yeah.
It's just an indictment of math and, you know, what the nature of unpredictable is. You know, the scientific process is one about, you know, researching and investigating and using data. And when there's no data, you can't really employ a scientific process. So this idea to use science as some sort of benchmark has just been more political gobbledygook. You know, it's equivalent of writing a book about white fragility. I mean, it's just a bunch of stuff that provides no guidance to anybody. But I hear your question, but I don't have an answer because we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to know how to get through this. So then you try to do the least bit of harm in the interim, you know, and that's where everybody's been making mistakes.
Well, when you change,
the people who haven't been practicing the most safe practices as they could have and should have are now feeling the wrath of it, and those that have been too harsh in some of their lockdown procedures, they're feeling the rash of it. There's been no model of some, oh, this is exactly how you should have done it. And here's the ultimate irony. It's certainly, if there was a model of who's done it right, it is certainly not New York, right?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I would agree.
Yet somehow New York is being positioned as, here's what you should do. And it's only because a man chose to have a press conference every day and you know, communicated some empathy. And it shows you how far, you know, communications go. I mean, because he bungled everything else to the highest possible degree.
Yes.
There's no greater failing in this period than Cuomo's New York. No greater failing. But look at the power of communication. I mean, Trump, you know, who is such a idiot and fool, could have learned so much by just watching Cuomo instead of watching Fox and Friends every morning. Because he said nothing,
yeah,
but he said it sincerely. And because of that, the media embraced him.
Well, I mean, how do you think Trump got there? By being on TV with you're fired. Yeah. You become a name. You're on there often enough, and you become recognizable, and that's you. I mean, Abraham Lincoln does not win today. I'm sorry. You have to get a vote. But here's what I know I'm getting jaded here, but coming to work every day downtown here, Jeff, it's real easy to get jaded. But what I'm starting to see is the lines of demarcation are being drawn, or have been being drawn the whole way. And right now it is older people that have a paycheck coming are dictating to other people that are not getting a paycheck and are younger. And I see that, and I think that's, as an old fart, I think that's horrible. I wouldn't have put up with it when I was a kid at all, and I don't really want to put up with it now, even though I'm on the other side of it. I mean, when I find the teachers union saying, well, we're not going to be, if we're not 100% safe, we want to stay home another year and get paid. Well, screw you. You know, yeah. give the class in the parking lot if you want to, but you're going back there or you're not getting paid. We're reaching that.
We've enabled that. You know,
yeah.
We've enabled that to occur. And you know, it's funny what you mentioned about the age dichotomy, because if anyone should have the power here, it's youth. And the reason for that is just how the pandemic has distributed power. So do you know, for example, when right now we're at 130,000 deaths. So I'll give you data that's accurate. Let's go back 3 weeks when it was at 123,000. Do you know how many deaths of the 123,000 U.S. deaths were under the age of 30?
Less than 5.
Well, no, 160. 160 people out of 123,000.
Well, I'm sorry, less than
under the age of 30.
I was going to say less than 5%.
Oh God, yes,
yeah.
Much. No, 160 people.
Yeah, okay. So,
out of 123,000.
All right, how many?
So
of
anybody should have the power right now. It's the youth, but quite frankly, you know, I'm surprised at how passive the youth has been. Also, both in terms of, you know, running up their economy and like getting their businesses going, or being a little bit more demonstrative as to you know what policy, economic policy could be prescribed at this point. We've got power in the hands of the wrong people.
Out of the 130,000, if you had to take a guess, how many are in nursing homes?
Oh, well, it's not a guess. You know, it's been about 40%. In New York, you know, that was 40. In New York, it was 43% of the deaths occurred in nursing homes.
75 in Ohio at one point, I read.
Yeah. So, you know, the numbers there. And, of course, that was like two or three times the national average because of the manner in which New York botched that.
But why did Ohio get so bad in nursing homes? They do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, you know how Ohio, despite the Republican governor, was being hailed as he was getting a lot of ink. It was, you know, they love those Republican crossovers. You know, so Ohio was getting a lot of CNN FaceTime as here's a guy that's just you know doing it his own way and not listening to, you know, his party. He's a maverick. He's believing in science and, you know, that kind of thing. That's the coverage he was getting 2 months ago, and now, of course, he's just in it with everybody else. But yeah, it's...
I don't...
You know, and look at the impact that this is all having on the absence of a political race, arguably an extremely important political race coming up in 4 months. And we've got, you know...
Jeff, there's a lot of things that happen in people's past, obviously now, and that I know you've beaten up on your stockbroker. That tells me more about you. but
he was a churner. Let's get that right.
Okay.
He was a criminal. And it set me on a path of righteousness. It also got me trading. I bought a Quotron machine and started trading my
Quotron,
own account.
Quotron, wow, there's a name from the past.
Had great success, and that's how I ended up spending the next 20 years in that industry.
Quotron, wow. It was a blast.
Yeah, remember the old Quotron boxes?
Yeah, you remember...
Hey, the hot dog stand. I put it right over the cash register. I had this last...
Remember the Schwarzatran, the first, you know, real system that would work for everybody?
What's that?
You remember the Schwarzatran?
I remember that, yes.
Maddie, when I first started,
there
was a machine called the Mindcheck Weber that did you know, option modeling and so forth. But it was, I don't know, you guys know more about systems than me because I know none. What does it mean when they're all yoked together? So, in other words, there were 10 of them, and weren't there probably 7 of them at First Stop Lounge. Dr. J and I would get there at 6:45. And we could go pretty fast on these things, and I was on a bad job. I was a clerk, worked for me, and he had a machine. Then all of a sudden, the traders come in, and he had to get off the machine, but I could stay on. Well, every time somebody got on a machine, they all slowed down because they were all getting everything from the central, what do you want to call it? It was a central computer, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
Well, a link they shared sort of bandwidth.
Yeah, they say, so Steve Schwartz, who actually was in class with this guy at the University of Chicago, and even though he was 30 years older than me, he developed something, well, they call it the Schwartzitron, and, Schwartz, and it was the first time that the calculations were done on the machine. So the machine would get the quote feed, and it would do the rest. So if there were 10 people on a Schwartzitron versus 5, on 5 different machines, it didn't slow up at all. So that was his big advance. But the Mincheck Weber, when everybody got in there, boy, you'd hit a key and the thing would take like 10 seconds to like go to the next stack. It was awful. But, you know, that was how the industry evolved. I mean, we sort of all learned together. I mean, if you would put me now, even at my, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. If you were to put me back in the OEX pit when it first started for 6 months, I'd make so much money I could have retired then. But there was, because there was stuff people didn't know. And, the early exercise and ways to do stuff. But we all learned together. I mean, you look back and say, God, that was easy. Why didn't I do that bigger? Well, I mean, because everybody was blanketly ignorant or blanketly learning or something. But I wanted to get to you, Jeff, is there's a point here with economies, certainly with manufacturing firms, and I was at Pullman. When the thing is winding down, and then all of a sudden you start laying people off, there comes a point where somebody shows up and says, hey, I want to build some railroad cars. And you go, it ain't happening here. You know, we just sold the last welding machine. We disassembled the punch presses. They're gone. And by the way, you see the wrecking ball? It's just about to hit the roof of the place. There's a spot here where you just don't or can't come back. And I am thinking it's a lot of industries here, a lot of places, a lot of buildings are just, you know, reaching that point where I don't know that they're coming back, Jeff. I mean, but the thing that bothers me, and that's why I love having you on and everybody on, is the ramifications are just dramatic. I mean, nobody knows more about dealing with people in real estate than Audrey. She's as good as there is, and she's gotten a few people from the show, so forth, and that's great. She was a broker on the floor, but bright lady. I mean, I said, do you have any idea that if this downtown doesn't come back, what do you think the premium of these people in Glen Ellen, Hinsdale, Napertucky, that have been able to have something, and they have express trains into the city, which maybe New York has, nobody else has, where you can live 60 miles away from a place and get to work in 50 minutes because you're on an express train. Nobody has it. And those places probably have carried a 20-25% premium for damn near a century. Now, if all of a sudden nobody cares about that, nobody's on the trains, they fold them up because nobody's on them, downtown nobody cares if they work here, what do you suppose, why do I need to live in Glen Ellen? Why can't I live in, whatever, Oak Lawn or someplace? This, you know, maybe as crummy train travel. The economic repercussions, if we don't, you know, pull our head out of our ass here somewhere, to me, I can't even begin to. I mean, I probably have the capability of listing 50 things where maybe most people can list only 25 because that's my business, but there's thousands of them. Everybody's affected. And that ignorance of that at every level of political person here just bothers the living hell out of me. Trump has no idea. Jay seems to have no idea. Lori, give me a break. She has no concept that I can see. And, well, I mean, am I right or wrong? I mean, everything hinges on everything else.
Well, there's a bright spot. You know, this weekend, Kanye West declared he's running for president. So maybe you've got something to, actually that became a really hot topic, not only on Twitter, which, you know, the cesspool that is, but in the prediction markets where, you know, I spent a lot of time in the political prediction markets that you can trade on. That was always an option sitting there at 3 cents. Will Kanye declare president, run for presidency? And it was a 3 cent trade, and 8:30 Sunday night, he sent a tweet out declaring that he intends to run for president, and that shot up to 50 cents. So there was a nice 17 times return on your money for some people out there, and it shot up to 50 cents. And then Elon Musk came out and said, I'll support you. And then a couple of other people did. Mark Cuban said if it was a ranked ballot system, that Kanye would come away with more votes than Trump.
What is he? What is
and
he?
And now in the prediction markets, it's been trading pretty wildly. I think it's down to, it went down to the teens after running up to 60 cents, and now it's about 40 cents.
Right, so
it's the kind of thing you can actually wager on. I did wager on it. I picked it up at 50 cents, sold it at 60 cents. I'm out right now, but you know, made a quick 20% return on that, all within maybe a couple of hours. And that's a story to watch. So there you have a reason to be optimistic.
Optimistic that he takes 20% of the vote away from Biden and Trump walks back in again? I don't know, does that make me optimistic?
You know, it's not clear what... Well, first of all, it's not even clear that he's actually running.
Right.
I mean, it's already seven states have passed a filing deadline, including Texas and New York. You can still have a write-in vote, but you can't actually file with the FEC in those states. There's a real question here as to what exactly he's doing. He's dropping a new album.
Do me a favor. Hold that thought, Jeff. We got
a single out which featured Travis Scott. So, you know, obviously there's great opportunity for a political, promotional stunt. And it is Kanye. But, hey, there's some Yeezy money. Got to take it.
Well, that's true. Hold that thought, bud. SP Futures down 23. NASDAQ Futures down 34. I want to know why the hell you can't get on a ballot and it's only July. I mean, that sucks, basically. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help.
A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howie. Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. Jeff Joseph on the line. Jeff, I'm reading this news item here, talking about how the arrest made downtown and in Boys Town on Saturday night, that, of course, the police are refusing to even...
I don't know that story. What happened?
Well, evidently, the people came down and were blowing off fireworks at Millennium Park. They, like, brought their own. A bunch of fights ended up there. Same thing happened up in Boys Town. The police, if you call them to ask them about it, they're not telling you. So they're trying to cover the whole thing up.
Just fireworks?
Well, no. It ended up being a big brawl. The police couldn't get them out of there. And, you know, the curfew is supposed to be 10:30. The bars are closing. This is going on at midnight. I don't know. Just everything possible could be going wrong here, it appears.
Sure.
Imagine that. S&P futures, we are down 24. NASDAQ futures down 37.50. Again, we were up a bunch yesterday, so we're not even Fibonacci back. How's that for a word? Dow futures down 249. Let me see what we're doing over in Europe here. I'll get there. Maybe I won't get there that quick. Mandy, what do you...
You know, you could have your screen ready.
I have to switch from one to the other. There we go. DAX down 160. It is ready, but it's the movement. I go to five different countries here, for God's sake. DAX down 161. That's 1.3%. They were up like 2 yesterday, so that's easily two-thirds there. FTSE down 92. That's 1.5%. So Europe's in danger of giving most of yesterday back. CAC around down 54, 1.1%. Over in Asia, not the same. Nikkei only down 99.4%. Shanghai, these guys were up 6% yesterday. Now they're up another 12 points, which is another 0.4%. So still, they're giving people money to buy stocks over there. That was the thing. Hang Seng, however, going the other way pretty good. Down 363, 1.4%. Bonds minus 0.101 on a 10-year still 0.67. The Bund minus 0.42. The Japan hanging above zero at positive 0.04. I didn't think I'd see that for a while. Oil down 32 cents, but still above 40.31. Brent down 27 cents, 42.83. Natural gas up 6 cents, 189. There is the trade. If Jess would have bought like 10 of these contracts at 144, he'd be retiring about now. RBOB 124. Gold is down 620. They were down more than that earlier, 1787. Silver down 20 cents. It was down 29, so both of these are making a little bit of a comeback. Copper down a penny, 276. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic Weather Sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're looking good for the most part on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. There is a crash here down south. Tri-State I-294-80 on the westbound side. At Halstead, there's a crash blocking the left lane. That's causing a bit of a slowdown. But no issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson looking good. Same for the Eisenhower. Edens and Kennedy have been quiet all morning. Lakeshore Drive looking good in both directions. And everything out in the suburbs is quiet, too. The other issue is something that's been going on all morning. There's some fallen power cables on Harlem between 30th and 29th. That have repair crews on the scene working to get that fixed, and so there's a slowdown on the northbound side of Harlem. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, another hot and steamy day, similar to what we've seen over the last week or so, with a high of 90. It could be warmer than that further inland. We'll also have some threat for some thunderstorms later on, but right now it is sunny and clear and 81 going up to a high of 90 with the chance of showers. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 111 today. Right now it's clear and 82. In sports, the big news that came out yesterday was the release of both the Cubs and White Sox schedules. Both teams will open at home on July 24th. The Cubs will host the Milwaukee Brewers, and the White Sox will host the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, it will be a 60-game sprint, assuming we do indeed play baseball, as is currently scheduled. Chief?
Somehow we can't find a way to have 10 people in Wrigley Field. Just saying.
We? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah, there's a trading floor term that you've picked up. the powers to be. Just saying. So, Jeff, explain to me. There was one of the listeners a couple years ago. That was one of the dumbest things I ever did. It was pouring rain on some cold Saturday. I said, I got nothing better to do. I'm going to research some election law in a few states. That was about 9. At 11, I gave up. Fortunately, I don't drink in the morning, or it would have been time for a Bloody Mary. It is absurd, these states, how hard it is to get on these ballots. Now you can talk to an American that loves being here, a U.S. citizen, and he'll say, "I'm proud to be an American," and you can say, "Gee, that's cool, Mr. American. You got one more party than Russia. How's that working out?" I mean, right? I mean,
and the irony of that. So to complete the statement, but before about Kanye, which. Yeah. I'm surprised did not generate a greater discussion, but it is too late to get on the ballot as an independent. So that's what you're referring to. So it's of course we've got these two parties that control everything, but the great hope for independent voters for years and years has been the 5% threshold, at which point there's federal funding available for third-party candidates and third-party campaigns. And that's been an elusive goal. Gary Johnson got close last year last election cycle with 4.2% as a libertarian. But already as an independent, you cannot get on the ballot in Texas, New York, North Carolina, Indiana, Minnesota, and New Mexico. So that does leave 44 states out there. But that's as to why that is the case. You're right.
It's tough.
Plus people who are, and some people are taking the Kanye thing very, very seriously. And the reason they're taking seriously, it's not because anyone takes him seriously. I look forward to meeting that person, but because of the opportunity it actually proposes. There is a problem that the Democratic election analysis and pollsters would tell you, and that is that the young black male is not engaged with Biden. The numbers are strong everywhere else, but not with Biden. So black Americans, obviously, the Democratic Party's most loyal voting bloc, and Biden Trump won just 8% of black voters in 2016. But, Biden's got a record there, including collaborating with segregationists in the Senate and sponsoring the 1994 federal crime bill, right? So these things come up. And the survey recently done by the Wall Street Journal, NBC, has 92% of black women support Biden compared to 4% Trump. But only 80% of black men back Biden and 12% support Trump. However, among black men under 50, Biden support drops down to 70% compared to 17% for Trump. And it gets even worse below 30. And that's why some people like Rachel Bitticoffer, who's a progressive election analyst, took this very, very serious, got into a little pissing match with Nate Silver from 538 on this over Twitter, saying this is not a joke, this is serious, and this has the ability to siphon votes away from the Democratic Party if Kanye were to run, and it's become a little spectacle worth watching, and that's all because of Kanye, dropping a new album next week. So we'll see. Album is called God's Country, by the way, so keep that in mind.
We have
But it's tough. So go back to your core question. It's tough to get on the ballot, particularly presidential candidates. They involve campaign financing forms that shows the source of your money. The individual candidate has a lot of paperwork, not just signatures, but a lot of personal paperwork and some that define him as a candidate. And it's just not an easy thing. And listen, this is late. This is 4 months going in, so I'm not surprised that there are states that have already shut that window down.
Yeah, but they haven't shut the window for the Democrats or Republicans. The problem is it's not even.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, what I found is that most states have just given up. You don't need the Democrats or Republicans to walk in with the signatures. Right, they already have their spot, which to me essentially blows. If you and I wanted to run, some states we have to get signatures registered to be write-in. But you have to bring these signatures in. Of course, you're going to get challenged, and they'd be done. Now, it'd be different if the like for instance, if Joe Biden or Trump, I'm not wishing this on anybody. Something bad comes out, one of them has a grabber, okay? The Democratic slot, if they push the convention off till October, for God's sake, which they, who knows, and they come out, they'll find a way to get whoever it is on that ballot. So if that's the case, they got no business telling Jeff Joseph, you're shut out in July. In my world. Then again, my world is not the world that's out there these days anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, with these parties shut down, I mean, the poor man got shot, okay, obviously. But nobody can do the Bobby Kennedy anymore. When I say the Bobby Kennedy, it used to be that you could, that these primaries kind of strung out. And if you didn't see any big-time winners the first few times through,
right,
you could say this thing's there for the taking.
Yep.
And you could win. When did he win California? When did he get shot? Was it July, June? I mean, I don't remember. God, it's been so long ago. I mean, you could win the last few primaries, go to the convention, and have a brokered convention. But now, was it like how many years later they said, "Oh no, we're gonna these guys want you." These guys, these both parties, despite what they think they're all different, they're so crappily together on a lot of things. What they want is for a guy like Jeff, whatever side he's on, because he's a well-spoken guy, good-looking guy. They want him to go to essentially through this interview process. Raise some money, whoever the powers to be bless him. They want him to win Iowa, who nobody gives a crap about. sorry, Manny, but I'm saying in New Hampshire, which represents what percentage of the population. You win both of those, half the people quit. You win Big Tuesday or whatever the Carolina thing is, the other half quit, and you're in. People in Illinois, California, New York don't even have a say. This is our political system. And those two people, you know, get on the ballot. I think the last election was the first time in how many friggin' years we've been around, 1770, whatever it was. When was the Constitution ratified? Like 1790-something? Where articles of convention. First time ever that a third party was on a ballot in all 50 states, I believe. Ross Perot was
Perot was on in 44 states.
Yeah,
I know that.
We were close, but 50.
I don't.
50 is.
That may be true. I don't know.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, the problem is the parties don't encourage diversity. But it's not about the amount of people coming out of it, though. I mean, let's face it, there were, what, Democrats have put up 23 candidates through this process already. And last year, last election cycle with Republicans, there were at one point 17.
But that's not what any
people vying for
that's
them.
Not what it's not what anybody wants. Joe.
But you're talking about outside parties, of course. But
no, I'm not.
We're getting the headcount within the parties, right, as of late. But that obviously, you know,
that's because there isn't a front runner.
That's correct.
But I mean, right, if you go back to the
that's how someone like Trump can get elected, who really only has 15% popular vote appeal.
But no, right. but that's something not. But not, that's something that. That's a very recent phenomenon. That, I mean, let's run Oprah. Well, I mean, Kanye West, I have nothing bad to say about the guy, except, matter of fact, I'd love to have a beer with the dude. But I have no desire to see him. I mean, it could be the guy's a closet historian. I don't know. So I'm not going to say anything bad about it. But I suspect.
Well, just for perspective, yeah, he is the man who wrote the lyrics. You tried to play nice. Everybody just took advantage. You left your fridge open. Somebody just took a sandwich. So, you know, let's keep this in perspective. You know,
well, I'm,
he,
But I'm saying we're not talking about a guy who reads a Victorian novel a day of history. I mean, we're not, and nor neither would be Oprah, neither would be Mark Cuban, all these guys that are these just hanging around celebrities that their faces on TV, and everybody always asks them their opinion for God knows what reason. Not that I don't like Mark Cuban, he's been on his show. I think he's a really good guy. But I mean, he's not my idea, an old guy's idea of presidential material. Mine would be a guy who's maybe been in the Senate, maybe been in business, maybe been in the Army, maybe had some over, maybe was an ambassador to Germany, where, you know, there's a pecking order there, or there's a, and I don't care if the guy's blue, green, made of cream cheese. It doesn't matter to me what, or whether it's a male or female. I could care less. But there's some sort of a track record for this that you would think you'd want in that job. And look what happens when you don't. Right? Look what happens when you don't. And we had two people in a row that didn't. I mean,
right.
Obama couldn't balance the books in a hot dog stand. I mean, come on. There was nothing about business. It all got to be, I don't know what his shtick was. But now this
voting
guy,
president?
Yeah, this guy is the same way. Same way in different ways.
Yeah.
In unable to see all the parts of the whole and act accordingly. They see their area, take care of their area, and hope the rest falls where it lands. If falls well, and if it doesn't, they have no idea why not.
Well, this election is seemingly writing its own script at this point. I mean, the Economist numbers came out. They have a 99% probability that Biden wins the popular vote, a 90% probability that he wins the Electoral College. Those numbers, I think they published 343 as being the mean, and they're using, the Economist's website, by the way, has great political coverage, and they're using a very statistical approach to each of the underlying states and the EC count, and it's certainly worth looking at. And, you know, and then you have the Lincoln Project out there that's just pummeling dollars in their, in ads against Trump.
It would be
a foregone conclusion. I mean, the only things that can really turn this tide, I think, is if the Democrats continue to overstep on such idiocy like defunding the police and just, you know, or just kind of trying to cancel history and culture to the extent that people snap back and say enough is enough.
They got to get away from the lunatic left the same as the Republicans need to get away from some of the lunatic right. Neither one of them seem to be able to do. But I have a question for you regarding Biden. And first of all, I was minding my own business, having breakfast with Dr. J over at Ceres. Mm-hmm. We weren't drinking, just was breakfast. And Blair Hull was there. This is back when he was going to run.
Oh, sure.
And I knew Blair from the floor. And, I never had anything bad to say about the dude or anything. He was just a guy, you know. He was nobody that you would ever, never knew to have any ideas that he would talk in front of people. I don't think I ever saw him even ask a question at a board meeting. I mean, in terms of any of those skills you would normally put towards somebody in that spot, I mean, I knew five guys, including myself, that had put themselves out there, had been on committees, had solved problems. It wasn't just me. Mm-hmm. Out of the floor, there were a bunch of people that did a lot of stuff. I mean, they put together programs. There were some really smart members of it. I always had spectacular people on my committees and so forth. So John is sitting there and he goes, he's going to be the next governor. And I said, John, I'll bet you breakfast he doesn't have a chance. And he says, what are you talking about? He raises money, he does this and that. He's going to be the Democratic whatever. And by the way, you know, the Democrats are going to win this time and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you see him just walk out of this bar or the restaurant? He goes, yeah. I said, John, he didn't wave. He didn't say hello to anybody. Someplace, somewhere, people are going to look at him and say, I need to like this guy, or at least, these are people he's worked with for 25 years. He didn't say hello to anybody. What's he going to look like? I think that Joe Biden has a very serious problem the minute he gets in front of the camera, because I don't think the man's well. I saw him, and I hope I'm wrong. I saw him, Maddie Weber and I very seldom agree on anything. Last week, Maddie says on the way in, Chief, did you use YouTube yesterday? Yeah, why? He says, did you see that Biden ad? I said, yeah, I did. The guy looks like he's... Man, he goes, he looks terrible. Did he have a stroke?
Well, he couldn't put a sentence together, yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, he's got a whole team, and who knows how many takes they did, and he still is stumbling this bad on an advertisement?
There's a good reason that he's been in the basement
for
so long. I think that's probably the only prospect for any kind of game changer. I'd say three things, because we, you know, on the political trade podcast, we are actively handicapping these markets from a betting standpoint all the time. And there is the possibility, certainly not the probability, of a vaccine that could occur, although that I'd say that's an outlier. There is, you know, that's one thing. Another thing would be debates, that there is just, that what we're speaking to right now becomes very apparent that he doesn't have full faculty during debates, but I don't see why the Biden team will allow him to do any more than two debates. I would think that would be foolish, because that's something that Trump's well positioned to at least look good in a debate next to Biden. So that possibly could be a game changer. Another game changer perhaps could be, you know, overreaching in terms of some of this activist mentality. It's we're positioned to be a long hot summer right now. We've seen the death, murder, and violent crime rates in New York and Chicago and everywhere else skylight. That might continue to drag on the American psyche to the extent that there's, you know, a call for kind of a rebound. Those are the only things that really remain with 4 months that can reshape this election. Otherwise, Biden is coasting through pretty easily.
Jeff, I think there's things in society that no matter what it is, whether you're right or left, I'm not talking about the extremes, but one of the things that people want from society, because you can see every gun store is damn near out of guns, at least in some areas around here, people feel that the biggest job of government is to protect the citizenry. And right now, the Democratic Party that I have been a part of since I can even remember until recently has become the party of anarchy. You can't tell me that every African-American person in county jail is there because we put them there wrongly, and yet every weekend we've got 25, 30 murders. I mean, this is not connecting with an awful lot. This politics is bad. It is just bad. We know that there needs to be reform all down the line. Education, that's just the way society is. We need reform everywhere, okay? I'd lead the charge for that, and I'd bring you right with me because I know there'd be a sober guy right next to me. But the idea that we all of a sudden everybody who's a crook isn't really a crook, and the crime we see is not really crime, and if we cover up stuff goes on in these streets and riots, somehow it's not really there. And we look at, you know, 1,300 murders and 5 police shootings, and we say the police are the problem. Jeff, this is out of control. This is out of control.
It's way out of control. And the Democrats are playing politics on this issue in the same way that they did on immigration. Very early in the Trump presidency, when the debate on DACA was at 620,000 people, and Trump offered, I will double that number and put 1.2 million people approved under DACA, which is far more than Democrats ever requested in 4 years of submitted legislation attempts prior to that. Trump offered to double that number to 1.2 on the contingency that chain migration be ended at that point. They saw an opportunity to play politics with that, play politics with the Dreamers, and that's why 4 years later, that issue remains completely open, unsolved. And they just knew that they could make more hay with the electorate by creating this narrative that Trump was against the Dreamers. And it just was never true. He was the first person to step up to try to resolve that. And in a manner that was dramatic, to say basically an offer that Democrats couldn't refuse. So, but they chose to play politics. I would add a fourth scenario as possible game changers. And I don't think there's a high probability of any of these right now. I don't see how you don't bet on Biden. But the fourth scenario is an October surprise that will probably come in the form of Bill Barr's, you know, we still have some reports coming out from the AG's office about the manipulation of the Russia investigation, how it started, to what extent Strzok and Comey and others were involved in it, and how much Biden and Trump actually Biden and Obama actually knew about it in withholding information from Russia and initiating the investigation even during the transition of power following the election. That information, which has been developing for many, 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 many months now, will come out soon. And, you know, in this kind of polarized environment, unfortunately, it's not going to make much of a difference.
It doesn't make a difference, Jeff.
But it's still going to be material, and it's going to point a pretty bad figure.
I agree with you.
It'll be hard to say how much impact it has.
I agree with you in terms it could happen. I don't think there's a vote to be changed right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're used to nothing stories, like the Russian bounty story. It was a nothing story. Everybody knew that was not a real story. You have the Department of Defense and the Pentagon come out and say specifically there was no corroborated evidence on this. That's very clear. It was done the same way. You plan a story, you get a leak through CIA, counterintelligence leaks directly to the New York Times. New York Times puts a team of five reporters on it that do no reporting, no investigative reporting, uncover no new source. All you have is one anonymous source. Then you go over to WAPO, they do the same thing, and now you have two papers collaborating to break a news story that really doesn't
matter. They don't care.
That there was really no fundamental logic for it. It didn't.
Jeff, we got a dash. By the way, you're absolutely right. Let's talk about that next week. Maybe Richard J. Daley was right. Bad government is not good politics, but somehow these guys think it is. I don't know what that's all about. Take care of yourself, bud. SP Futures down 20. NASDAQ Futures down 25. We'll see if we stay down. I don't know about that. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.